Welcome to day 300. We are up to Perek Beis Mishnah Tes, and after we learn these Mishnayos, a tremendous, tremendous mazel tov to everyone for having learned 600 Mishnayos together. I think it's pretty incredible. And the truth is, even if you haven't been with us the entire time, or if you have been but you haven't learned all the Mishnayos, still, really, thank you for showing up. I think it's a tremendous thing. Every time you get to tune in, every time you get to learn together, it's a tremendous privilege for all of us. And I think everyone deserves a kol kavod. Everyone deserves the shkoyach, the mazel tov. And we should be zocha. We should have a privilege to go mechai lechai from strength to learn another 600 Mishnayos and another 600. And let's just continue learning as much as we can. So we know from previous Mishnayos that yeast is one of those things that can never be nullified. So if truma yeast, for example, falls into a batch of dough, it doesn't matter how small the amount of yeast is. As long as there's enough to cause the dough to rise, the entire thing needs to be treated like truma. So yesterday we saw an interesting case in which there was regular dough and regular yeast fell in, not truma, just regular yeast, and it's enough to cause the dough to rise. But before it began to rise, additional truma yeast fell in, and it was also enough to cause the bread to rise. Well, we might have thought that because before the truma fell in, there was already enough regular yeast to cause it to rise, so the truma yeast really isn't adding anything. Maybe we would have thought it would be okay. Says the Mishnah, no, the entire batch still needs to be treated like truma. It doesn't matter if there was enough yeast originally. More yeast fell in right now, and it's enough to cause it to rise. Therefore, the entire thing needs to be treated like truma. Now we're going to see a variation of that same case with one detail changed. Says Mishnah Tes, Sa'or Shel Chulin Shenafel L'Soch Isa. Imagine you have regular yeast, not truma, just regular yeast that falls into a batch of dough, but this time, the chimtza, it already caused the dough to start to rise. V'achar kach nafel Sa'or Shel Truma, and then afterwards some truma yeast fell in. O Sa'or Shel Kilay Kerem, or Kilayim yeast fell in. V'yesh Bo K'deh L'chametz, and there's enough in that truma yeast, or in the kilayim yeast, to cause the dough to rise. So the difference between this case and last case is that, yes, in last case, there was regular yeast that fell in before the truma yeast, and there was enough in that regular yeast to cause it to rise, but it hadn't yet started. In this case, it already started to cause it to rise. Maybe you would think there's a difference. I understand why in the last case, the truma yeast that fell in can't be neglected, it can't be nullified, because the original yeast didn't start the process of causing the dough to rise yet. So we'd say the truma yeast could really play a role. But in this case, the other yeast already caused the dough to rise. So what is the truma yeast going to add? Maybe you would think the halach would be different, but says the Mishnah, no. Usser, the entire thing still needs to be treated like truma, even though it already rose. And now there's additional truma yeast. Still, that yeast cannot be nullified. The entire thing must be treated like truma. But Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, actually, the entire thing would be okay. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, a very important principle, we actually don't paskin like him in this case, but a very important principle is at play here. According to Rabbi Shimon, once the yeast, the additional yeast is added after the bread already rose, then the additional yeast can only detract. Yes, it impacts the flavor, but it will only detract from the bread. It's almost as if there's over-rising. You know, excuse me if that's a real thing that I should know more about. But that's not good for the bread. At that point, yes, it has impact on the bread, but it is not impact that is positive. It is negative. And that is called nosein tam lifgam. It gives flavor or it impacts the product, but negatively. And when you have nosein tam lifgam, the entire thing shouldn't be a problem, meaning the fact that it imparts flavor doesn't matter. But the Chachamim seem to say that's not true. Perhaps they don't disagree with the principle of nosein tam lifgam. Perhaps the additional yeast will impact it and it will be somewhat positive. That is Mishnah Tes. And now on to Mishnah Yud. We know that in addition to yeast, the other major thing that cannot be nullified are tavlin, spices. The entire point of spices is that they're added in order to impart flavor in a very sharp way. So you could put the tiniest amount of spice in, but as long as there's enough to actually spice the dish, the entire thing would take on the status of that spice. So if it was orla spice, now the entire dish would be off limits. Well, let's say you have multiple types of spices, but each one, and each one on its own would not be enough to impart flavor, but together they would. So says Mishnah, you have tavlin, you have these spices, shnayim u'shlosha shemesh. They represent two or three different labels of isser, of restriction. Mimin echad, but they're all of the same type of spice. So imagine you have paprika, or paprika, I never know how to say it. So you have paprika, but you have some that is orla, and some that is truma, and some that is kilayim, and each one on its own wouldn't be enough to flavor the dish, but together they would. Or another variation here, omishlosha. Or you have three different types of spices, but they're all of the same prohibition. So you could have, let's say, paprika that is orla, and pepper that is orla, and cumin that is orla. I have no idea what dish you'd be making. In those two cases, in both of those cases, aser umitzarfen, all of the spices absolutely combined, even though in the first case, you have, it's one type of spice, but they have all different types of restrictions. One is truma and one is orla. Or in the second case, there are totally different spices, even though they have the same status, they're all orla. Still, they combine. If they impart flavor together, the entire thing would take on, would really be usher. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shnayim ushlosha shemos mimin echad. In either of those cases, if you have one type of spice, let's say paprika, that has multiple types of iser, one, a little bit of truma, a little bit is orla, meaning that first case, oshne minin mishem echad. Or that second case, where you have two different types of spices, or three different types of spices, but they're all the same isser. So you have pepper that's orla, and you have cumin that's orla. In either of those cases, ein and mitzarfen, they cannot combine. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, they need to be the same spice, meaning they both need to be pepper, and, not or, and they also need to be of the same isser. So you need to have orla pepper, and orla pepper, and orla pepper for them to combine. But if you have orla pepper and truma pepper, they would not combine. And if you have orla paprika and orla pepper, they would also not combine. They need to be of the same type and of the same isser to combine in order to make the entire dish usser. That is Mishnah Yud. We will continue with Mishnah Yud Aleph tomorrow.